Welcome back, listeners, to Built to Lead, Season 4, Rebels with a Cause. Today, we'll continue the second half of our discussion with Dr. Connie Clarici. In our last episode, we introduced Dr. Clarici, the founder and current executive chair of the board at Closing the Gap Healthcare, an innovative healthcare service provider in home care and clinical-based services to rural and urban regions throughout Canada. In part two, we'll be discussing two articles with our guests. The first is about the domains of innovation in a model of care, and the second article explores the impact of various constraints on innovation and navigating beyond those challenges. Stay tuned to hear what our guests had to share with us. Going into our first article, it is based on an approach of analyzing novelty of service innovation in the healthcare setting. So the author builds on the model of service innovation by Knox and Schultz that frame healthcare innovation as a product of four domains. So the first one is organizational newness. So this is how we can change the way in which we do things like structures and processes. For example, the transitions from LHINs to OHTs down to our health teams is a great example of organizational newness that has enabled more community-focused thinking. And then second domain is environmental newness. So how does the environment, the external environment, experience a shift that opens up an opportunity for innovation? Bill 60, for instance, is going to be a big environmental newness that changes the landscape of community care in Ontario. The third one is market newness, or how is there a new service introduced to the marketplace? For example, the introduction of Closing the Gap is a great example of market newness. And then the fourth domain they talk about is technological newness. So how can new technology allow for a change in thinking? An accessible example of this is how improvements in communication technology has enabled virtual care provision. So even just looking back to COVID-19, what we thought was possible but not feasible was virtual care. But it came out of necessity because that environmental newness is really something that we needed. Therefore, it is important that we consider how these four domains are working together to create the groundwork for innovation and novel thinking to occur. So what do you think about these four dimensions? Is there anything missing from these four dimensions? Is something that needs to be more prevalent?
Yeah, and so they're all great things. So when you talk about organizational newness, the glory that we were able to enjoy was being an organization that could be nimble. And so because we weren't involved in the home care space prior to the 90s, we were able to set things up without a lot of history or having created any bad habits at all. Environmental, yeah, necessity is the mother of invention. And then market newness and technological, all these things get married together. One piece that is missing in there for me is that the entire healthcare system, whether it's acute care, home care, long-term care, is that we are a system that runs on policies and procedures and almost a script of society. And so we have to make sure when we're introducing novel ideas that the framework is there to set up for success. If there isn't a framework or constraints put forward, it becomes a free-for-all. And when we're looking at equitable healthcare across our province and across our country, that means we have to have a level of standardization. So you don't get a different type of healthcare depending on the jurisdiction that you live in. So I think that's one piece that isn't really discussed as much as it should be. And having constraints is not an evil. It's a guide. And it gives us the ability to know where we can work within public policy and what are the definite no-go areas. So I think that if you could just add having a framework is very important when you're looking at the healthcare system.
And I think through your answer, you have also tapped into the second article that we were going to speak about. So, you know, we recognize that readiness isn't the only important factor when we manage innovation and novelty, right? So our second article talks about how we can do that by managing constraints. We often complain that restrictions get in the way of novel ideas. But in fact, the empirical evidence shows that until they become to a point too stifling, they can actually push the dial forward. This article talks about how GE developed a revolutionary ECG machine that dramatically improved rural healthcare and were able to do so against a restrictive timeline and tight budget. And in fact, they succeeded because of restrictions. The constraints motivated and focused efforts and found a way forward to a novel idea. No constraints leads to complacency, and restrictions can motivate and focus. Connie, in your career, what restrictions, roadblocks, or just general constraints did you face when you were trying to drive forward novel thinking and change? And how did it actually help you move forward?
Yeah, we would be here for a very long time if I were to list the constraints that I've been faced with in my career, because there have been many. And there's been really good constraints, and there's been really bad constraints. And so, you know, I think for every initiative that we're involved in or we're trying to create or just providing standardized services, you have to have a sound understanding of what those constraints are. But in order to have a sound understanding of what those constraints are, you need to have a sound understanding of what public policy is and how it unfolds. And so takes me back to what I said to you originally, how important education is. You know, understanding public policy is not something you're taught as a clinician. In fact, it's a huge gap. And it was a game changer for me to be able to understand, because there's some things you want to advocate for change for. And there's some things, if you understood public policy, there's no sense in advocating, because nothing's going to change. It's in legislation. It's going to be next to impossible. What I have watched over the years is when there aren't constraints put in place, we've seen some innovations come forward where sectors have been given total autonomy to create things. What ends up happening, and I think, as you said, your empirical evidence shows this, is that it was a free-for-all. People built empires and didn't necessarily find the solution that others were proposing to them, because they took the path of least resistance. That's so common in society, is that people take that path of least resistance instead of giving an innovator opportunity to show how to do something differently. And I'll just give you a very quick example. I met a fabulous woman from Nova Scotia who created a wound care digital platform. I went around and showed everybody how wonderful this platform was. It was going to save huge amounts of money. It was going to improve care because of the digital photography. It was going to improve communication between physicians and nurses and patients. And it was vendor agnostic, so it didn't prescribe the type of equipment or supplies you needed to use. Everybody felt that it was a fabulous tool, and it should have been implemented everywhere. So this is a decade ago, or maybe a little bit longer. So in my spare time, I worked for her, not with compensation, but just to give her some exposure out in the marketplace. Despite everybody agreeing to it, nobody adopted it. They didn't adopt it, and it took me forever to figure out why. And one person finally said to me, they didn't adopt it because if they adopted it, it would mean that all the care they provided previously was substandard. That's not how we should view innovation. what you did before with the knowledge that you had at the time. And improving healthcare shouldn't be a threat to our history. And the same as you both had mentioned around virtual care, we had presented, given HR shortages were starting to occur, you know, I don't know, 8 years ago or longer, virtual care. And we were told under no circumstances, absolutely not, were we going to be able to provide virtual care. And so some geographies where there was no speech pathology at all had to go without care instead of us providing that virtual care. And then came the pandemic. And as I said, necessity is the mother of invention. And I found that with so many initiatives, sometimes you're way ahead of your time in thinking of solutions that solves a problem that's about, you know, this big. I guess people can't see that, but very tiny.
Yeah.
but then when the problem becomes enormous, that's when you finally get the attention. The other that we did was to try and support staff and creating a laddering opportunity for PSWs to become RPNs, RPNs to become RNs. And we were forgetting a part of our healthcare workforce that had no opportunity to advance in education. And so there was a core group of us about 7 or 8 years ago that started creating this platform, and we didn't get any traction. Now it's and somebody else has renamed it. But the good news is it doesn't matter who took it, who took what we were proposing. The fact of the matter is PSWs now have a valued role in the healthcare system and can move to advance. You know, sometimes all of the changes that occur don't occur when you want them to. They occur when there's a catastrophe.
Hmm. That's so true. And hopefully we're going to learn from this. That's hope that I hope as a young leader in healthcare, let's say 20 years in a row, that we at least when we see some of these obstacles, as you're talking about, we're reframing these roadblocks to say, okay, how do we use this and leverage it for our advantage? If we have virtual care, it may be something down the road, AI, how do we leverage it? And as you talked about before, the equity piece, safety and quality.
As we come to the near the end of the episode and top of the hour, Kai, there's a specific thing that we do with all of our guests called Rapid Fire, where we share 5 questions with you. They're fun questions, nothing to be worried about, where we allow the audience to kind of get to learn more about you. So we'll read the question and whatever comes to mind is the answer that you could share. So I'll kick it off. What is one book, movie, or TV show or podcast episode that comes to mind when you think of rebels and disruptors?
Well, the younger me would have said Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
the older me really likes a new book that has been published called Humankind.
Humankind. Amazing. Next question. Who is the greatest disruptor or rebel in your life?
In my life?
Yeah.
Who is? My children.
That's lovely.
My daughter in particular controls our entire family.
So the next question I have for you, what is your dream organization to get involved with? So either on the advisory board or in any other capacity.
You know, I would like to really sit in a board meeting that Richard Branson chairs.
What is one restriction you like to put into play to foster innovative thinking to your team?
One restriction?
To allow them to be more innovative in the way that they think.
One restriction. Maybe.
In a good way.
Yeah, I was going to say. I can't think of a restriction. Maybe it's the word is the stumbling block for me. Don't be afraid to offend me.
That's a great one. That's a lovely one.
So for this last question, I hope it doesn't offend you. I want you, this one be a hard one. Fill in the blank. Rebels are
cool.
Rebels are cool. Yes.
Rebels are cool. So if you want to be cool, a rebel is what you want to be. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, Connie. It's been such a pleasure. There's been so much goal that we have found within having this conversation with you. And I hope our listeners are able to take away those learnings and key takeaways as well. It was such a joy having you with us today. And we again, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening today. And thank you for joining us on Built to Lead Season 4, Rebels with a Cause. Built to Lead is created and hosted by Matthew Goldburn
and co-hosted by Mubin Lalani.
Built to Lead is a companion podcast to the Vernissage Health Dialogue Series at the Institute of Health Policy, Management, and Evaluation at the University of Toronto.
Tell us what you thought about this week's episode. You can find us on LinkedIn at Vernissage Health and on Instagram at Vernissage Health. You'll find both of these in the episode description. Today's episode was produced by
Dheeraj Thakur,
Matthew Goldburn, with music composed by Sindhu.
A special thanks to Wendy Nelson, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Health Policy, Management, and Evaluation. Until next time.